Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years now, leading professional development for educators and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. This year, we're celebrating the 10th anniversary of the blog, and there are a lot of exciting things in the works. From new music here on the podcast for 2022 to a new look on the website, including an easier way to search for exactly what you're looking for. Well, I just can't wait to share everything with you. You might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, and today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Lumio. I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode on a Sunday. These conversations are so much fun and super insightful. Before we jump into today's episode, a quick reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it'll take you to all the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by Lumio, an award-winning digital learning tool that will transform your lessons into active, collaborative learning experiences. Every day, more schools and districts are switching to Lumio. It's truly a flexible solution that works well with your lessons, platforms, and content teachers are already using today. Boost your student engagement on any devices wherever learning needs to happen, and without hours of prep time. To get Lumio for free, head to lum.io today. Today's episode is titled Quick Ways to Boost Collaboration in Your Next Lesson, and I'm very excited to chat with Casey today about her classroom experience, tips for boosting collaboration, and ways to make lessons and activities more interactive this school year. Let's jump into our conversation in this special bonus episode. Welcome to the podcast today. I am so excited to have you on to explore these ideas of collaboration and interactive learning together. But before we dive in, can you share a little bit about your role and your background in this space?
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here and chatting with you. I love to talk about education anytime I can, so super happy to do it with you today. I am Casey Germadnik, and I am currently the North American Education Communities Manager for SMART. I've been in with SMART for a little over 4 years now, but I came from the classroom. I spent about 20 years in education before starting with SMART. So I started as a first grade teacher and certainly loved the young ones and loved the challenge of teaching them to read. But the last 11 years, I was a gifted and talented teacher at the district in Texas that I worked in. We had a pull-out program, so I taught third, fourth, and fifth. I got for a whole day each week, which was really, really awesome. And then my kinder, first, and second graders, I got half a day each week. And then I also had half a day where I could really support some students that maybe weren't identified as gifted, but needed some enrichment. So we do coding and robotics and makerspace and design thinking and all sorts of things. So best job ever. Absolutely loved teaching. I've only ever wanted to be a teacher since I started kindergarten, and now excited to work with educators in a bigger way. Get to work with educators all around North America for sure, but even globally as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. And just so interesting to hear about your background and all the different opportunities to work with different grade levels too, to just really have that whole perspective of what things look like in different classrooms and all those different grade levels, which we know are so different even, right? Even the ones that are next to each other, the second and third graders, right? Have all different kinds of needs and are just so much fun. And so, you know, Casey, as we're talking today and exploring the ideas of collaboration and making lessons more interactive, I'm hoping we can start first with this idea of collaboration, because it sometimes feels like a word that is thrown around a bit, but we know that it's something specific that we're looking to incorporate in the classroom. So can you unpack this term of collaboration for us?
Yeah, and I think collaboration is a tricky conversation. It's a tough conversation for many teachers too to figure out how to make that work successfully in their classrooms. For me, collaboration was key. I mean, obviously in teaching first grade, it's all about the small groups, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to get kids to understand how to work successfully together and how to listen to each other. And so for me, it was really about creating a space that was a space where students can take risks. They're unafraid of being judged for the decisions or the ideas or the things that they're putting forth. So it really starts small. And from the very first day of building those relationships so that kids can feel like they have a voice and that we want to hear their voice as well. For me, I feel like if you walked into my classroom, if I'm doing it right, it's organized chaos. a bit of a oxymoron, but that's what it is. There's purpose behind the chaos, but you should see kids in different areas talking to each other. One of my colleagues is, which I love this term, shared with me the idea of device elation. And I think when we jump into technology, there's so many great ways that we can get kids collaborating through devices, but sometimes that leads to device elation where kids are all kind of focused on their own space and not really having the conversation. So for me, it shouldn't be that you guys are all quietly working in one space on a device together. It should be that you are in a group, maybe with devices, maybe not, depending on the task, but you're together to have those conversations, to spur each other on, to talk about disagreements that you might have or other ways to look at things, learn how to navigate that conflict that comes with working with groups.
Yeah, and I really like what you said about giving kids that space to try something, to maybe have that failure moment that they're kind of working through, the problem solving piece that we know is so important when collaboration is taking place, and even that organized chaos, right? A great term to use to describe what it might feel like when you walk into a classroom and you're kind of watching or kind of thinking what you want to bring into your own classroom or your own environment. So, you know, coming back to that kind of organized chaos idea and making sure that an environment is really primed for collaborative learning, what are some things that can happen to really set students up for success in those spaces?
Well, I think that we really need to teach how to collaborate, right? A lot of times we just assume that kids will get it if we put them into groups and we say, we're going to work together on this task or this idea. But just like for adults, collaborating is hard because, you know, when you share an idea, you have ownership of that idea. And if someone doesn't respond well to it, you feel defensive and you can feel hurt and things like that. So we need to set our kids up for success by teaching them how to be listeners, mm-hmm. how to listen to understand, how to recognize that because your idea wasn't picked does not mean that it wasn't a good idea. And helping them understand that when you are brave and share ideas, that oftentimes your idea is actually the jumpstart for someone else's successful idea. And so I think for me, the beginning of the year is all about talking about and modeling those things, mm-hmm. and modeling how it feels for me when someone disagrees with me, because our students often have different ideas than we do. So if they can see that I can listen and I can hear what they have to say and I can reflect and jump off their ideas, I think that's really helpful.
I really like that emphasis of setting up kids for success by looking at that process, like you mentioned, right? Having everyone feel comfortable sharing ideas, understanding that it's a contribution that they're making maybe throughout that process, as opposed to say the final product, and that idea of modeling too, because as you mentioned, whether it's the beginning of the school year or a time where you're really doing a reset in terms of your community, right? There's a lot of factors that can help kids feel comfortable, right? Working together with that common goal in mind that we really want to bring into those collaborative environments. And so, you know, as we think about some of the technology connections today, we know that a lesson where kids have opportunities to work together towards that common goal can be super engaging. Are there other ways, or, you know, what are some other ways an educator can use technology to make a lesson more engaging and interactive?
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure my kids were naturally prone to want to jump in when there was technology involved. For me, giving my students choice and voice over how they use technology was really important. I feel like it's important for students to to recognize that we trust them to know what tools make the most sense for them as they're trying to share what, how they're, you know, reflecting on their learning or sharing what they've learned and things like that. So I like to give a lot of open space to my students. I like to do things that are going to build curiosity for them as well. So I know one of my favorite things is like a fallen phrase where, you know, like letters are missing from the page and it might be a phrase or it might be a quote or it might be a question that's going to jumpstart something that we're learning that day. Anything, or starting with an image or starting with a quick video clip, anything like that, that's going to get the kids excited and feel like they're part of the process, I think is great. And then as much as I can, I try and give them open space. So instead of me doing all of the heavy lifting and telling them which graphic organizer to use or how I want things to be organized on a page, giving them the freedom to sort of think through that themselves. Now, obviously, you have to scaffold for that. You don't just jump in that way with students right off the bat. But if you can give them some, you know, some smaller jumping off points, and then as you continue to build their confidence and build their understanding of how to create and how to organize their space and how to empower them, then you'll be really surprised at the amazing things that students turn in for you. And it's much more fun for us as teachers to grade and to see, and it's more fun for them to share with their peers because their work doesn't look like everybody else's.
Yeah. And just giving kids that choice with which graphic organizer do you want to use, or how do you want to respond to this open-ended question? You know, I can imagine students with the fallen phrase type of activity that you mentioned, right? Kind of all around the interactive whiteboard, right? A smart board that they're kind of, you know, able to interact with, whether it's in a small group or as a whole class after they're kind of thinking through some things and having those conversations with their classmates, right? Or jumping into a space where they have that choice to say, you know, of these two, right, this is the graphic organizer I want to use, or this is how I'm going to contribute or post my response, right, to that open-ended question. So when we think about the technology piece and we think about the interactivity or providing those engaging moments for students, you know, for an educator listening in today, are there ways that they can use technology or they can, you know, think about these interactive lessons as a way to really boost collaboration in the next thing that they've got up, maybe their next lesson scheduled for this week or next week?
Absolutely. And there's so many incredible tools out there available to teachers. And I've used many of them. And I loved thinking about which tool made the sense for the right moment that we're in. One of the, obviously, working with SMART, one of the tools that I've come to really love is Lumio. It's come so far in the last 8 months. And I just sometimes itch to get back in the classroom because I have so many ways that I might want to use this tool with my students. But for me, one of the big things that they that Lumio has that I love is a collaborative workspace and allowing students to be either in small groups working together, whether they're all in the same classroom or whether they're at home. I know we've all been sort of in flux over the last few years. And even though, you know, many of our kids are getting back to school, we have kids, I know, you know, that have had to go on quarantine, you know, things along those lines. So we still need to have them present and learning in our classrooms, even if they can't physically be there. And I love that collaborative workspace within Lumio allows my kids that are at home to be working with the kids in my classroom because it makes them feel still part of the day. And I love that I can also put students and my students into one whole class experience too. I love to do chalk talks in my classroom. And this is a great way to do it digitally with your students, having a great question or quote and having students reflect on it and getting to read each other's responses and then also respond back to their peers as well. I think it's fantastic. It's a great way to build that collaboration quickly and easily as well. And I love anything that we can do that sort of gives me that one stop. Right. So I can build in some game-based learning. I can leverage content I have, which is great as well. I love doing think, pair, shares and jigsaws. Those are both great ways for our students to collaborate. Think, pair, share is a great one for teachers that are just getting started with the idea of collaboration. Because I know it's overwhelming. It's just like creating choice boards, it can be overwhelming to think about how to manage that. But I think fair share, you know, students reflecting personally, you can do that and using technology like Lumio, for example. We have handouts where students can think independently and they can pair up and discuss and share their ideas. And then we can have our students then reflect as a team and come back and present to us their thinking, which I think is really neat as well.
I really like how you said the think, pair, share as a good way to step into this work too. You know, it's a routine that you can build into any content area, right? Any part of the school day where kids say they're using Lumio, which for listeners who haven't tried it before, it's free. You can jump right in. You don't need a smart board to use it. I've used it remotely, like you said too, right? Where I've done it with a professional development group where they were working asynchronously with me, right? Logging in. So we were able to do a lot of the things you talked about with that particular group. But, you know, you could have that think, pair, share moment where a student is jotting something down, right? Thinking about their connection, perhaps to a piece of reading material that was shared with the whole class before they jump into that pair work where they're not facing their screen necessarily, right? And just talking to the student next to or across from them. And then maybe they do go back to that screen to share it with the whole class, right? And I know I just came back as we're recording this today. I just came back not too long ago from the FETC conference in Florida. And one of the sessions that I led, I've been using this kind of like new phrase of like share and post almost, like tell the person next to you and then post it in the place that's going to go to the big board in the room, right? So everyone can see it, especially if you're in, you know, another corner of a conference hall. So, you know, I think about that too, where the students who are in different corners of the room, right? We still want everyone to hear everyone's thing. So you might have a deeper conversation and that think, pair, share, but then post it to a space, perhaps embedded within a Lumio lesson to make that happen. And you know, Casey, you mentioned as we're talking here about this idea of all the great things teachers are already using, right? And all the different places they might go to for ideas or different videos or things they want to share to, you know, with their students. So, you know, we know, as you mentioned too, right, the past few years, educators have spent way more time in digital spaces than any of us anticipated, creating lessons, finding videos to share with students and maybe even families too. So how can they bring all of these pieces together? Like, do you have any favorite curation strategies for kind of stitching all these great resources from different places together?
Yeah, well, I've used a lot of different ways, gone about doing this in a lot of different ways, you know, through while I was teaching and you know, I was a Google district. So I used Google a lot for those types of things, creating Google sites and things like that to kind of organize all my things for my students, or honestly, any learning management system is great as well. But one of the things that I have loved about Lumio is that it is about putting all the pieces together for you simply and easily. So if I want to start with a video clip, I can get an ad-free video clip and put it right inside of my lesson. I love one of the new-ish features of Lumio. It allows us to combine many different resources. So one of the struggles I had as a teacher, right, was I'd want to have a PDF that I was sharing with my students, but I'd also want to have a Google slide that I was sharing with. And so I could do different extensions and things to kind of pull these pieces together. But in Lumio, I can do it naturally. So I can pull in my Google Slides and my PDFs all within one lesson. And I can give my students the opportunity to collaborate in small groups or work independently, so I can do some formative assessment and give real-time feedback to my students or even my groups of students in those collaborative workspaces. And then one of my other favorite things that I love to do with kids to build engagement is game-based learning and choice boards. Choice boards to me are huge because I just feel like it's a great way for students to feel empowered. And so I like to marry those two things. And Lumio, we have a variety of different game-based activities that you can build quickly and easily, like 5 minutes or less. But one of my favorites, actually, the first time I saw it, I was like, oh, it was digital flashcards called Flip Out. So I stopped thinking about it as digital flashcards, and I started thinking about it as what could this tool do that's in line with something I'm trying to do for my students? And I knew at the time I was really working towards making my classroom a little bit more driven by my, a little more student driven. And so I looked at it and I thought, well, we could make those as very fast choice words. You know, you can have points on one side, for example, and on the back side could be your different options. I could say you can do any activity, it just needs to equal 100 points. Or I could say, you know, you need to do a silver, bronze, and gold task today. So you can give your students some options there. And I love that all of those things can kind of happen in one space.
Yeah, just, you know, as you're talking about digital choice boards, I'm thinking about, right, that great video you might pull in for here, or that great article, or this recording, right? So really pulling together all of those wonderful resources someone has come along, right? And pulling them all together. I know, and you mentioned too, you know, within Lumio, you can plug in content from different places, or you might have a really great Google slide deck that you want to turn into, right? This interactive presentation. So we've talked a little bit so far about what Lumio can do. You know, as I mentioned, I've used it both in person and asynchronously in professional learning environments. And I really love some of the games and the templates and all the different pieces you can pull in. Really love the collaboration component where you can push students into their own workspaces. So can you tell us, is there anything else we should know about Lumio? Or can you tell us a little bit more about how someone could get started with this if they haven't heard it before or they're jumping back in?
Absolutely. So I always try and think about Lumio when I'm talking to teachers about, I love 6-word summaries. Like, how can I summarize what makes this tool amazing in 6 words? And honestly, I could come up with a lot of 6-word summaries on Lumio, depending on sort of the lens you're looking at it through and what you need to do for what you need to accomplish for your students and where you are in building your craft as a teacher too. You know, if you've maybe been more teacher directed, maybe done more lecturing over time, and now you're looking for ways to shift a little bit, looking at small ways you can make some shifts. You know, I might give them a different 6-word summary than someone that's ready to really kind of turn over the learning completely to their kids in a different way. But for me, I kind of think about transforming lessons, building engaging collaborative experiences. That to me is kind of summarizes what Lumio can do. So for me, a couple of things that we didn't touch on, you were talking earlier about having students with Think, Pair, Share, you know, reflect, talk to their neighbor, and then having the ability to post, right? So that share and post piece that you were talking about. So Shout It Out is one of my favorite tools as well. It's a great way for brainstorming, great tool to use for exit tickets and entrance tickets and mid checks along the way as you're teaching. But I also love it as a way for students to really reflect on their learning and post. So if you did like a Think, Pair, Share, you can turn on that Shout It Out. You can have one that's pre-made, or you can even do one on the fly. So I love that in Lumio, there's a couple of opportunities for you to do like in the moment, on the fly type of teaching, turn on that Shout It Out, get a check-in with your students really quickly and easily.
Yeah, the Shout It Out feature, I really love. I just love anything that's gives everyone a chance to participate, right? Everyone can jump in, even someone who might not want to raise their hand to actually, right, shout it out to the class. And it's a great thing for gathering information, right? That formative assessment data that's really actionable, right? You see it on the screen, you can make a judgment call, right, on the fly if you need to move forward with your lesson. So I'm so glad you brought up that one too, because there's the collaborative piece to it and just a lot within Lumio. I know I featured it on the blog, and I will make sure to add links to it as well as some of the other pieces we talked about so that listeners, as you're listening in today, can click on those show notes and find all of that information. So as we get ready to finish up here, can you just share with us a little bit about where listeners can connect with you, with your team, learn more about your work?
Absolutely. So certainly I'd love for you guys to follow me on Twitter. My handle is @KCG316. It's my personal handle because it's just me. I started it when I was a teacher, and I'm still using it to build my craft and continue to learn from amazing educators out there. I'd also encourage you, we have some new Lumio focused social sites. So on Twitter, we're @go_LumioPLN. And on Instagram, we're at go_Lumio. Those are great places to learn tips and tricks and get free lessons and free resources and connect with us to ask questions and learn from other educators that are using the tool. And then we also have an open community on Facebook. So if you search for Lumio Educators, it is a relatively new-ish group. We're just getting started, but again, a great place for us to connect and learn from each other and kind of continue to obviously explore your understanding of Lumio, but more than that, just really connecting with teachers who are doing good things for their students. Because I know I see so many things that I get inspired by on a daily basis. So I really highly recommend that. And then we have some great free webinars that we do weekly. And then we've started a new EdShift podcast, which is really exciting. It's not so much focused on Lumio, the tool, but really focused on diving into educational trends and practices and connecting with educational innovators that are looking for ways to continue to shift the fabric of education. So it's a great place to go and listen and learn as well.
That is fantastic. And I will make sure to put all the links here so that everyone can find you, right? Find Lumio, learn a little bit more about these other opportunities that you mentioned. So anyone who's listening in can tap right in the description and learn a little bit more. So thank you so much for your time today.
It was my pleasure. I had such a nice time talking to you. Anytime we can talk about collaboration, is a good time.
I'm so glad you were able to listen in to my conversation with Casey today. Let's finish up what we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, examine the role of collaboration in your classroom. Next, incorporate a new routine like a think, pair, share. Then, use the collaborative workspaces in Lumio for small groups. Finally, transform content you currently have with Lumio. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at Lumio. A big thank you to our sponsor, Lumio, for this episode. If you're looking for a collaborative learning tool to make it easy to level up your lesson materials you already have with assessments, game-based activities, collaborative spaces, and lots more all in one place, Lumio is the perfect choice for you. Head to lum.io for more information and to sign up for free. Thank you for tuning into today's bonus episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, it's free. Each new episode will download for you automatically, so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a 5-star rating or a short review for the podcast. It helps other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for the new episode of the podcast.